Welcome to Deloitte Global Insights, a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Deloitte Global Insights is an audio news podcast that looks at important cross-border issues that affect the global business community. I'm Stephen Heasley, and I'll be your host for today's program, TMT Predictions 2012, a mid-year checkpoint, part of a series examining the 2012 TMT predictions. Each year, the Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited Global Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Group looks at trends for the coming year in its series of predictions. This is the 11th year for predictions, which are compiled from conversations with TMT companies, industry analysts, trade organizations, and member firm partners and senior practitioners. Now that we're about halfway through 2012, we thought it would be interesting to speak with some of the authors to see how we did. Just how accurate were we with this year's predictions? So here today for a mid-year checkpoint are Paul Lee and Duncan Stewart. Paul is head of global TMT research and co-author of TMT Predictions. Paul, welcome.
Good to speak to you again, Stephen.
And Duncan is director of Deloitte Canada Research and is also co-author of TMT Predictions. Duncan, glad you could be here today.
Great to be here with the team.
To Paul and Duncan, this year you and your TMT colleagues around the world hosted a pretty extensive series of launch events, visiting everywhere from Brussels to Beijing. So tell us a little bit about this year's TMT Predictions Roadshow.
Yeah, so one thing which has been great about this year is that we've reached quite a few cities and countries where we haven't had an official launch beforehand. And ones which I'm particularly pleased about are including Sub-Saharan Africa. So for the first time, we had a launch in South Africa, in Johannesburg, and we also had a launch in Namibia. And also, looking further east, we had our first ever launch in Moscow, and also we had our first ever launch in Beijing. So all of those seem to have gone down pretty well, so we're looking forward to going back there next year.
I think one of the other things that we've tried doing, in the past, predictions has been dominated, not intentionally, just sort of the way it happened, has been dominated by research inputs from Western Europe and North America. And over the last few years, Paul and I have been working really hard to make these inclusive about the rest of the world. And I think that was really brought home. As part of the roadshow this year, we went to Southeast Asia for the first time. We had a launch event in Singapore and client meetings with companies in Jakarta in Indonesia. And going from one country where GDP per capita is very similar to Europe and North America to another country where GDP is like $3,500 per person, it was really great that we had predictions that we were able to discuss with local audiences virtually everywhere in the world and have relevance for them. I think the other comment I'd make about the Predictions Roadshow is that even on an apples-to-apples basis, when you look at the same cities and we're going back, for example, in the Canadian Roadshow, we actually saw the people coming to our launch events up 56% this year versus last year. So it's great that the audiences are still growing and people around the world are continuing to engage with Deloitte Predictions.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Duncan, because I do remember in reading and exploring the predictions that was one of the things that struck me is I like how you took the themes and looked at them and how they might impact different economies differently. Maybe a more developed market would respond to this trend this way, whereas emerging economies or developing economies might respond in a completely different way.
Exactly.
Well, let's go ahead and revisit a couple of this year's predictions. So in your travels and the roadshow, which predictions brought the most questions or which ones were of the most interest?
Well, I think there's sort of a couple ways of looking at that. When we talk about some of the predictions like big data analytics, this is a pretty emerging topic. And when I go out and talk about that, people were this was maybe the first time or the second time they'd ever heard about that. So we had a lot of questions about that, but maybe the interest level from smaller companies was a little lower. Meanwhile, when we talk about things like TV and the power of the TV schedule and what percent is linear versus nonlinear, as well as smartphones and tablets, those are the ones where probably we had the best discussions. Everybody now knows about smartphones, everybody knows about tablets, and everybody knows about TV. So those are the ones that I would have to say popularly were the ones most discussed.
And Paul, any that stood out for you?
Yeah, I mean, just to echo Duncan's points, I mean, everyone can relate to devices, everyone can relate to TV. And often what we have, I think, are what are generally perceived or regarded as slightly unfashionable perspectives on those areas. So when it comes to TV, a lot of the people that we're speaking to are often people who don't watch a lot of television and are mildly surprised just to know how, say, the mass market in their countries is consuming television. And when it comes to tablets, again, a lot of people that we're speaking to have these devices. And what they tend to be fascinated by is how quickly we're moving to multiple ownership of tablets, let alone having one person owning tablets. And I think when you look to the rest of the year, because even one thing that we have left is 6 months in which the predictions can still come true, there are a lot of smaller tablets, significant tablets, which are yet to launch. So hopefully they should reinforce the validity of our predictions.
That's a perfect segue into my next question. So given that this is a mid-year checkpoint, I'll go ahead and ask a tough question. How did we do? So where do we appear to be most accurate in our predictions?
I think quite a few of our predictions already bearing true. There are some predictions where what we're saying is that the perceived change or the consensus perception of the change is actually inaccurate. So, you know, for example, if we look at targeted advertising for television, there are a lot of people who we've spoken to and also who were saying last year that television advertising is inherently wasteful and has to become more targeted to the viewer or to the household which is viewing that particular program. And our perspective is that a fragment of all TV advertising this year will be targeted or addressable in that way. So we're saying 0.1% of global TV revenues will be addressable. And everything that we've seen so far is pointing to that. So where there is any form of customized TV advertising where the ad shown is customized to the viewer or viewers, it tends to be for video on demand for TV programs, and that remains a fragment of overall TV consumption. So that's certainly one there where I'd expect we'd be, you know, almost exactly on the money in terms of our prediction.
When we take a look at a couple of the others, one of the things we talked about was the rise of NFC chips on smartphones. And it was sort of a two-part prediction. One of them was that we would see more phones with NFC chips. And that is happening, although still pretty slowly. It's more the back half of the year. But I think the more exciting part about that is a lot of people back in December, January, were talking about NFC chips on phones being used as payment devices. And we were a little more skeptical, saying that there were some reasons that perhaps that was going to be more of a 2013 or 2014 story rather than 2012. That one's been, pun intended, absolutely right on the money. Use of NFC for payments remains much slower than many people were looking for. But I have one overall comment, and this is something that Paul and I kind of joke about every year, but I actually think so far this year our hit rate is too high. We are almost too accurate at this 6 month point, and it makes me think that we're not being bold enough with our predictions. So that's something that we always have to watch. You know, we want to make sure that we are properly going out there and pushing the boundaries rather than perhaps getting a little too safe. But we're pretty happy so far this year.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. Well, to bring us down off of the pedestal, let's take the converse approach. So where does it seem that we might have missed the mark a little bit? You know, how would you critique your predictions from 2012?
Oh, for sure. There's been somewhere, you know, we're not going to be online all the time. One of them probably was when we were talking about the rise in brand advertising online. We were looking for online advertising to increase 50% versus direct response ads up kind of 10 or 12. In fact, so far year to date, that has not happened. Now, maybe there will be a second half effect. But so far, in fact, direct response ads have done better than we would have thought. They're up about 12 or 13%. We thought they'd be more like 8 or 9. But although people are spending more money on social ads, on video ads, it isn't as much as we would have thought at the beginning of the year. So that one, that prediction looks like it almost certainly is not going to come true the way we made it.
Yeah, so one of the ones which isn't currently working out at the moment is one which we had around web bypass, which was a view on a third form of connectivity. So we have fixed connectivity, we've got Wi-Fi connectivity, both of which rely on the internet. And there's a third form of connectivity which we're expecting to grow quite rapidly, which is point-to-point connectivity using a range of technologies from Bluetooth to Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi Direct. Now, a lot of those technologies are being deployed to devices, but there are still compatibility issues which are thwarting the exchange of files. We'd expect those issues to be ironed out, but it may not be 2012, it may be 2013 before the ease of use becomes sufficient to allow this to become a really significant viable alternative to sending files over the web via fixed or wireless connections. And if I just mention one more very quickly, we had a prediction around captured commuters, so whereby people be watching television series or other forms of video on the way into work. And we're expecting for the first half of this year for the licensing to change such that people could download a program readily to their phone or to their tablet and then watch it on the way into work, probably on a bus or on the subway where connectivity would be poor, but you'd have a file ready to watch. Now, the licensing which would allow files to be downloaded isn't there, so you can watch programs on a smartphone or on a tablet, but it still requires you to be streaming that content as opposed to downloading it. So you've got a case there of a bit of licensing drag.
Although there's some geographic change in that, actually, Paul. Here in Canada, there are at least two providers that have changed the licensing rules so that you can stream something down and watch it. It's erased after 24 hours, but as long as you watch it within 24 hours, you can watch it without streaming it. So it's still early days yet. That only happened a month or so ago, but we are starting to see some movement on that licensing front.
Great. So hopefully Europe will catch up with North America.
Well, and if you guys could go back in time, are there any technology, media, or telecommunications trends that have emerged as 2012 has progressed that you maybe would have included in hindsight?
I think that it's part of the problem is it's so early, it's 6 months only into the year since we launched. But I have to say, no, not really. There's certainly some interesting stuff coming along. I mean, we've seen some announcements on, you know, extra large 82-inch tablets. We've seen some things on self-driving cars, and I guess what would be another one, heads-up displays, the sort of glasses that you can wear and have things projected on the inside lens. None of those have taken off yet, so we're glad we didn't predict those. It's not like there are millions or tens of millions of users or billions of dollars in revenues. At this point, all of the things that have been significant hits or misses so far in 2012, pretty much we included in prediction. So even if you gave me a time machine, I wouldn't go back and include anything, except possibly maybe putting down a wager on Spain in the Euro Cup.
Or perhaps the invention of the time machine. Paul, anything that you would have included in hindsight?
No, I mean, you know, we've had, you know, hundreds of meetings over the course of this year, you know, both to large groups and also to private groups of clients or other individuals. And generally, what we have in the predictions document is sufficient to have a pretty robust and comprehensive discussion around the state of the industry. Obviously, we've got ideas as to what we want to cover off in 2013. You know, which we've been planning and discussing, but generally they tend to be too green or too immature yet to really socialize with our clients right now.
Great. And as a quick reminder to our listeners, you can watch videos of the predictions, you can listen to more podcasts, take polls, download the print versions of predictions, all on our website at www.deloitte.com/TMTpredictions. So in closing, Paul and Duncan, can you give us a sneak preview of Predictions 2013?
Well, as always, it's still 6 months until we publish, so we have a list of topics. Every year we try to get it up to 30 or 40 topics and then cut it back down to 15 or 20 when we finally publish. Some of the things I'm looking at, so we talked about big data this year. One of my topics that I'm looking at is specific applications of data analytics, not so much on big data, but on real-time data, literally uses of data in the millisecond range and how that's a growth market. I'm also going to do kind of a fun one on bookstores. Now, I mean, you might think, okay, so we've lost some bookstores. People can still order them online. But what I'm going to be looking at is maybe the impact on small towns specifically losing those bookstores. You know, if a town of 100 or 200,000 people no longer has a large bookstore, that certainly doesn't affect the people who have computers and have e-readers. But in North America, in Europe, around the world, when you start getting these towns not having a bookstore anymore, what happens to the lower income kids, the ones maybe who don't have access to e-readers? Where are they going to get the books that educate that? So it's a new form of digital divide. Finally, we're going to be looking at some more TV topics. We do that every year, but maybe a look at what's going on with cord cutting and maybe some of the changing demographics of TV.
Yeah, and in terms of some of the other themes which I'm looking at, the devices are absolutely fascinating in terms of how they are being used and who's using them and across different age groups. One of the themes which has been talked about a lot this year is around what's called a post-PC era. And what we're going to be discussing is whether, the reality is plus PC, and that maintains in the long term rather than just in the short term. So if you look at just the basic numbers in terms of computers sold which have keyboards, they are far outselling the nearest equivalent, which is tablet computers. And one thing we'll look at is how does that dynamic emerge over time, now that we've had a couple of years of tablets. And what I expect we will be coming up with is a perspective on where you do get individuals who can just rely on, say, tablets, and how big a market is that. And I suspect it's very, very small indeed. And one other corollary to that is there's a lot of discussion around are we moving to a mobile-centric world? So in some emerging countries, the most common form of computing device is a smartphone or a phone or a feature phone. And one thing which is often postulated is, is this where people are ending up in? So is the PC generation being skipped? And if there is sufficient change happening for 2013, then one thing we might look at is, so for emerging countries, what is the adoption of traditional computers looking like, and why is it being driven? And one observation I'd make is, there are lots of articles written about, say, sub-Saharan Africa and about how it skips generation. But one observation that we have, and one prediction that we have, is almost every article written about how it's a smartphone generation for computing is written on a PC.
Well, it's been a lot of fun to explore this year's predictions, and I know that we're all looking forward to predictions 2013. So, Paul and Duncan, thank you for your tireless dedication to TMT predictions, and thanks so much for joining me here today on Deloitte Global Insights.
Thank you, Stephen.
Visit www.deloitte.com/predictions2012 to access this year's predictions for technology, media, and telecommunications. Visit www.deloitte.com/global for more on Deloitte member firms' involvement in this industry, as well as other industries and service lines. You've been listening to Deloitte Global Insights, the program that looks at today's important cross-border business issues. We want to hear from you. Contact us with your feedback or suggestions for future podcast topics, and find Deloitte Global Insights at www.deloitte.com/podcasts. This has been a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now. Deloitte refers to one or more of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited, a UK private company limited by guarantee, and its network of member firms, each of which is a legally separate independent entity. Please see www.deloitte.com/about for a detailed description of the legal structure of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited and its member firms.